Zach will now read Mark 14:32-50.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, here comes my betrayer." Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
Our second reading of this evening is coming from Mark's Gospel in chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. It's on page 1022 in the Church Bibles. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast for a prisoner to be released, whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one who you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away to the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling to their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Well, good evening to you all. And welcome to our Good Friday service. Isn't it been wonderful to see the youth group leading so well? The guys in the music group as well. Thank you so much for leading us so far. Well, I'd just like to take a couple of moments this evening just to share some verses from Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. They should come up on the screen. So let's read them out. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And well, this evening I just want to bring out two things from those verses. Firstly, that God's love is tangible. And secondly, God's love is incredible. And so firstly, God's love is tangible. And let me just read out just the beginning of verse 8 again. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us. And you know, I find this remarkable already, just with that on its own. That God wouldn't just say he loves us, but that he would show enough. He would show that he loves us. To say that he loves us, it would be enough for a God that is completely true and completely trustworthy and faithful. But this God, well, he shows us, he demonstrates his love. His love has become tangible. And I was looking up in the dictionary what that word tangible mean. I had to look it up before I say it because I had to know what it means. But it says this. It says clear and definite or real. And that is what God has done. Demonstrating by showing his love. God hasn't stayed absent. He hasn't stayed distant. But he has come near in the person of Jesus to show this world, to show us here this evening, his love for us. And when we find that the way in which God has demonstrated his love for us is through Christ, and more specifically we find here, through Jesus dying on the cross. You know, as Jesus died on the cross, you know, contrary to what people think, it wasn't a sudden shock to God's plan. This was God's plan. Do you know, it was the death that Christ suffered in which our sin, that's the way that we have treated God, the way that we all have decided to turn our back on him, to live our own way, for us to decide what is right and wrong, all of that sin, the way that we have treated him and others. Well, that death, well, it takes all of that and it's placed on Jesus. And the punishment that should fall on us guilty people, it falls on Christ on the cross. That is what we remember tonight. That Jesus took our sin. He took the punishment that should have fallen on us. But you know, this is a real event. We remember real history this evening. You can mark on a calendar the day in which God demonstrated his love for you. It's that tangible. It's that real. God has demonstrated his love through Jesus. And that brings us to the second thing that I just want to show, which is God's love is incredible. That's all I can say. That's what I wanted to say. God's love is incredible. You see, you might already be sat here thinking that it was incredible enough that Christ would come and he would take our sin, he would take our punishment. You might think that that was incredible on its own. But you know, these verses, it goes one step further. It goes one step further, showing us the love that God has for us. Let's just read that again. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that incredible? Whilst we had our backs turned to God, whilst we were disobeying him, whilst we were dishonoring, whilst maybe we even thought that he didn't exist, it was at that point that Christ died. It was at that point that God decided to demonstrate his love for the world by sending Christ. Do you know the verses that surround these verses in the book of Romans in the Bible? Do you know it goes... And it says that Apart from being sinful, we are God's enemies. We are people who have rejected him. And in verse 7 here, well, Paul uses this comparison to show how incredible it is that whilst we were sinners, whilst we were God's enemies, God would show his love. Verse 7 says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. Paul, he says here, well, very rarely would someone die for a righteous person. Maybe once in a while someone would give their life for a good person. Maybe. I'm sure many of us last week would have seen the news, the horrifying hostage situation in a supermarket in France. And tragically, in that situation, a French police officer and three others were killed by this armed terrorist. But you know, this week, that policeman who died, well, he's been hailed as a hero, because it turns out that he actually swapped places with a woman who was being held hostage in that supermarket. And this week in his funeral, the French president, President Macron, speaking about this officer in tribute, he said this. He said, to be willing to die so that innocent people continue to live, this is the heart of a soldier's promise. You see, that hero police officer, he was willing to lay down his life for a woman who was trapped inside. He was willing to die so that an innocent person could go free. Now, I just want to read verse 8 again. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the incredible love that we are reflecting on this evening is a love in which Jesus was willing to lay down his life so that guilty people, you and I, could go free. That is the incredible love that he has for us. Do you know, it's like in that situation, if the policeman in some way were to give his life, not for the hostages, but for the one taking them captive. Giving up his life for his enemy. And so this evening, this is what we remember. The love that has been demonstrated. A love that is tangible, so real, so utterly incredible, that even whilst we were enemies of God, Christ, the Son of God, died that we might become his friends, we might become forgiven for our sin. Well, this evening, do you know, if you haven't yet accepted this incredible love that God has on offer, then can I urge you tonight, as we carry on our service together, to keep on reflecting about what Jesus has done for each of us. Speak to someone you came with, speak to me, and put your trust, put your hope in this God who has demonstrated his love by dying for us in our place. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are overwhelmed this evening that though we were your enemies, though we had our backs turned to you, though we were living completely separate lives, Lord, it was at that moment that you demonstrated your love for us, that Christ your Son would come and go through all of this suffering, go on the cross, so that we, guilty, could be forgiven. Oh, Lord, this is humbling, and may we reflect on this tonight. Lord, may we praise you for the love that you have for us, and may this spur us on to give our lives completely for you, to live for you in every single way. We thank you for what you've done. Amen. Well, Jasmine's going to come and do our next reading.
Our final reading comes from Mark, chapter 15, verses 21 to 39, found on page 1023 in the Church Bibles. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexandra and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what he would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."